This presentation is brought to you by iAwaken.org, a not-for-profit organization. We hope you enjoy the presentation. Please observe the copyright terms to which you have agreed.
We know the famous braisa of Rabbi Pinchas ben Yoyev, on which the whole of the Sefer Mesillas Yesholim is based, where the braisa creates a chain effect of education. But it's not necessary to learn A and B and C and D, but if you learn A, it will bring you to B, and if you learn B, it will bring you to C, and it will bring you to D, and so it has this kind of a chain effect. And it all starts with Torah. And the first phrase of Rabbi Pinchas ben Yoyev's Bryce is, Torah mevi'o lidei zehirus. Torah brings one to Zahirus, and Zahirus means care and meticulousness in the observance of the mitzvahs. And then it goes on, Zahirus lidei zrizus, zrizus lidei nekius, and so on. All the others are relatively easy to understand. That by practicing Zahirus, by full and meticulous, that after a while that is going to bring you to zrizus, I will start being energetic about the mitzvahs as well, and more active about the mitzvahs, that one understands. That zrizus, that after you're very involved in the mitzvahs, you're meticulous and you're assiduous about it, and you're engrossed and involved in it, it makes sense that eventually you'll want to come to precious, where you want to do nothing but the mitzvahs. That precious will bring you to nekius, that in the very mitzvahs you'll want them to be pure and free of any ulterior motives and so on. All that makes good sense. How practicing the mitzvahs and practicing the Torah moves from level to level. That's all. One can understand that. It's the first step which is more difficult to understand, because we see it doesn't always work. That is, Torah mevi'o lidei zehirus. How does it work that by the learning of Torah, which after all is an intellectual sort of thing, it's a philosophic sort of thing, one's learning Torah, how does that bring one to zehirus? It's something that we've often talked about. How does one bridge that gap between knowledge and action? One thing, knowing the right thing to do. The next thing is doing it. What is it that gets in the way between Torah and Zahirus, between knowing what to do and actually doing it? So usually it's what we call the Yetzer Hara. It's more pleasant and more convenient and more immediately gratifying not to do what one should. So one tends very often to be distracted from doing what one should, although one knows what the Torah is, one knows ideally this is what one is supposed to do. But because of the power of the Yetzer Hara, because one is strongly attracted for activities that bring immediate gratification, one finds oneself doing what is convenient and what is pleasant and not necessarily what is right. And yet the Rabbi Pinchas ben Yoyev says, Torah mevi'o lidei zehirus, by learning what is right, one will come to zehirus. We need to understand how that gap is bridged. How one jumps from Torah to Zahirus. How one jumps from knowing what is right to actually doing that which is right. Because that seems to be the biggest jump in the whole ladder of Rabbi Pinchas ben Yoyev. We see that concept expressed in many places. What we're looking at is the proximity of knowledge to action. The proximity of knowledge to status. We find a pasuk in Tehillim, Edus Hashem Ne'emono Machkimas Pesi. The Torah of the Ribbono Shel Olam is trustworthy, it makes a Pesi wise. What is a Pesi? So Pesi is obviously somebody who is not wise, otherwise it wouldn't say Machkimas Pesi. It makes a Pesi wise. Obviously a Pesi is somebody who lacks wisdom, a foolish person. So the statutes of the Torah are trustworthy, they make people wise. Now you know, people market all sorts of funny things. And it's amazing how easy it is, if one has the skills, to market all sorts of funny things. There are some things that are so good you don't have to market them, or so basic, so necessary. If a Rolls Royce cost the price of a Volkswagen, you wouldn't need a marketer. you wouldn't be able to satisfy the demand. Everybody would be buying. Imagine somebody had a product that is machkim pesi, that can make foolish people wise. The only marketing you would need is to persuade people that they're foolish. That's all. But you would usually find that even those people who deny being foolish will buy your product. They'll send somebody else to the shop to buy it. They won't come themselves, of course, because that would be acknowledging that they're foolish. But they would send somebody, they would send a messenger to go and buy the product. Imagine if one had something that is machkim apesi. We're not talking about giving him knowledge, giving him ideas. We're talking about making him oispeti, making him no longer going to be a foolish person. We're going to give him the kelim of chokhma. I'm going to turn a foolish man into a wise man. Eidus Hashem ne'amono machkim apesi. The Torah has that ability. And one sees it. One sees very often. In yeshivas, one sees bright people starting to learn and they don't make that much progress because they don't apply themselves that much. And one sees foolish people and it takes a long time. But 1 year you don't see anything. 2 years you don't see anything. 3 years, 4 years you start seeing. 5 years a bit more. 6 years a bit more. 7 years they're still nowhere near the top. You come back after 10 years, 12 years, 15 years and these people are great. They talk differently, they think differently. Eidus Hashem ne'emono machkim aspesi. It can take even a pesi. Pesi doesn't mean a person who has no brains. The Torah can't give you brains. If you have no brains, you have no brains. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about a person who does have brains, but he has no chokhmah. He's not wise. He doesn't have that, the wisdom. We'll understand as we go along what specific wisdom it's talking about. He doesn't have chokhmah. Pesi is a word which Shlomo HaMelech uses very often in Sefer Mishneh. The book of Mishneh, the word Pesi is used very often, and the Vilna Gaon defines it in many places in Mishneh. Pesi uses from the word Lefatot, a person who is easily persuaded by the Yetzer Hara. That's why the Vilna Gaon translates Pesi, a person who is easily translated by the Yetzer Hara. Who is easily persuaded by the Yetzer Hara. Now that's already a different sort of translation to the word pesi. So according to the Vilna Gaon, a pesi is a person who lacks zahirus, a person who doesn't practice the Torah, not a person who doesn't have the wisdom. A person who doesn't practice the Torah is nachli spatos, is easily persuaded by the Yetzer Hara. And according to the Pasuk in Tehillim, Eidus Hashem ne'emono machkimas pesi, it would seem that a pesi is a foolish person. Again we see the link between the lack of chokhmah and the persuasion away from the Torah. And that means that if Eidus Hashem Ne'emona Machkimas Pesi, if we could make the Pesi wise, he wouldn't be a Pesi. And if he's not a Pesi, then according to the definition of the Vilna Gaon, he won't land up being persuaded to follow his Yetzer Hara. So again we see the close relationship between wisdom and good deeds. But if a person just has the chokhmah, he'll keep the Torah, that's all he needs. What is this specific chokhmah that the Pesi lacks? The Vilna Gaon, we said, translates Pesi as somebody who's easily persuaded from the word lefatot. So if we go back to one of the first places in the Torah where that word is used, we find an interesting concept. The word that the Torah uses for seduction is pitri. The Torah says in Mishpotim, "V'chi yefate ish besulo asher loy oroso, shochav imo, mohor yemohoreno loy leish." If a person seduces a young girl who is not betrothed to him, then he must immediately marry her. And the word used for seduction is yefate. And the Mefarshim go into the whole discussion of what that really means, the word mefate. And the Ramban says the following. Inyan ha-pitui, the concept of pitui, is hatoyos rotzoin b'sheker. It is the attraction of one's desire to sheker, to lies. Shekin. That's what pitui means. And he proves it. It talks about various cases in the Torah where the word pitui is used to indicate a tendency of the heart towards sheker. That's pitui. What's that got to do with seduction? The same as Hamesis is Abasula Lishkovimo Yate Ritzoina Lechetzoi. A man who wants to seduce a young girl to have relations with him persuades her desires to his desire, but divrei sheker, by lying to her. That's usually the way he does it. He says, I love you, and he doesn't really love her. And he says, I'll marry you, and he has no intention of marrying her. And if he doesn't actually say those things, he gives to understand those things. And before you know what, she's hearing things that he's not saying, or certainly is not intending, and she's already pictures herself walking down the aisle to a chuppah, and he's picturing himself in bed with her tonight and with somebody else tomorrow night, and the two aren't on the same wavelength at all. It's sheker altogether, absolute sheker. And he has twisted her heart around with sheker. That's pitui. Says the Ramban, Elochein, and therefore, Ha'anoshim asher ein daitom shelemo lahaskil, people whose minds are not developed in order to conceptualize, to think, ve'yite libom bidvorim bitchilas inyonim, and their heart makes a mistake in matters at the beginning of their consideration. Yikru pesoyim, they're called pesoyim. That's a person. Let's look at it again. A person whose mind is not fully developed, and whose heart makes a mistake in things at the beginning of their inyonim. What does that mean? In the beginning, as he begins to think about something, he's mistaken. At that point, he's mistaken. It's not that he makes a mistake far down the line. At the beginning of his thoughts, he makes a mistake. That's a pity. What does the Ramban really mean? There's something in a person which he calls an undeveloped intellect, which leads him to make a mistake at his initial point of reasoning. That's a very serious mistake, because everything you reason thereafter is on false premises. If you start off correctly, then at least the beginning of your thought remains correct, no matter what mistakes you make further down the line. But if you make a faulty, and that's a person. There's a Ramban on our Sedra where there's a similar word used which the Ramban ties up to the same concept. Miriam and Aaron talked about Moshe Rabbeinu in a way that they shouldn't have. And then the Torah says, "Vayomer Hashem pisoim el Moshe vel Aaron vel Miriam." And the Rabbeinu Shlom said suddenly to Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam, "Tzu shloshtechem al Oel Moed." The three of you go out to the Oel Moed. Vayetzu shloshtem, and the three of them went out. The word which is strange here is "Vayomer Hashem pisoim," and the Rabbeinu Shlom said suddenly to Moshe, "What suddenly?" Says the Ramban, "Ufisoim inyan mehirushu." What does pisa mean? It means very quickly. As the Unkelus translates, take it immediately. As they were busy speaking, there the Ribbono Shel Olam came. He didn't wait a moment. And he immediately said, up, go to the Olam Moed. And there he addressed them. Pisa. Ufetoim, the same concept. A peti, em hanim horim beyose. Those are people who are very quick. Now that's an amazing statement of the Ramban. Because that's contrary to the way we normally think. Normally we say about a person who is very quick, that he's very clever. The Ramban calls a person who is very quick a foolish person. We think it's a sign of brilliance. The Ramban sees the sign of pesi, a sign of foolishness. She'ein lohem iyun bedova. They don't have an analysis of the subject matter. No way you can analyze quickly. You can see something quickly, you can grasp something quickly, you can see possibilities quickly, you can tie things up quickly. But even to really analyze and deepen one's mind in a matter, that you can't do quickly. It has to be done step by step. You have to think a thing out from A to B to C to D. There is no shortcut. Some can do it quicker than others, maybe. It depends how trained one's mind is. But it's not something that can be done that quick. People who are exceptionally quick, and they have no eitzo at all. The use of the word eitzo is also interesting in the Ramban. Einloim Eitzot Tlal, they have no Eitzot, that's exactly what it means. No advice, not for themselves or for anybody else, in the sense of knowing what's the right thing to do. Let's see what we've got here. We've got a concept of a Pesi. We've got a concept of Mefate, and we've got a concept of Pitoin. Those are three different words which the Ramban now tells us are all related in the roots. Pesi, Mefate, and Pisa. What is the relationship? Pesi is a foolish person, a person who lacks wisdom. Mefate is a person who persuades or is persuaded. Pitoin is quick, immediate. A foolish person is easily persuaded. Well, let's take it the other way around. The Ramban says a foolish person is a person who is very quick. One's senses can be quick. Speed, when we're talking about Mehirus Beyoseh, about extreme speed, one's talking about something which is almost reflex. One looks at something with one's eye, there's no delay in the time it takes to perceive what is there and to register it in the brain. The speed of light, it's instantaneous. One can see very quickly. One can hear, relatively speaking, also very quickly. It's not as quick as seeing, but it makes no difference to normal human beings. The difference in speed makes no difference. Both of them, to all intents and purposes, are instantaneous. One touches something, it's immediate. One tastes something, it's immediate. With all the senses, one smells something, it's immediate. There's no delayed action. It doesn't take any time at all to use one's senses. Emotions don't have to build up. Emotions, pure emotions, are immediate. You see somebody, you like them, you don't like them. That's it. Why? The moment you saw them, you didn't even speak to them. And already you've decided. They look nice, you would like to get to know them, they don't look nice, and you want to have nothing to do with them. On what basis is that decision? How can one decide about a human being so quickly? Because it's decided on the basis of vision and sight and feeling and smell and all the senses. The sum total of what you sense with your eyes and your ears and your nose and your hands, everything that you sense you don't like. Look at him, he's not, looks funny. The way he speaks sounds funny. You shake hands with him, that's a funny kind of a handshake. Smell is a funny kind of smell. Taste, okay, you don't have to go that far. And in our society, there are societies where they do lick people to try and get to understand them a little bit better. But even without that, one can really decide it's not my scene. No one have anything to do with him. He might be a gorn. I don't like him. Is it rational? It's not rational. It's emotional. But it's instantaneous and it's immediate. The mind can't work so quickly. And if one does work so quickly, it's a sign that it's not the mind working. The mind has to absorb. It has to first figure out what it's seeing. The mind knows that what it sees on the surface is not necessarily what's under the surface. The mind has to start distinguishing with what's on the surface and what's below the surface. How's the mind going to see below the surface? It's not an X-ray machine. So it's got to work it out. It's got to see that this man that looks so fine and so wonderful and established an immediate feeling of trust in me, when I look at him closely, I see that when he speaks to me, he doesn't look at me in the face. Something wrong. Why doesn't he look at me in the face? And I see when he speaks to anybody, he doesn't look at them in the face. The mind starts wondering and the mind starts watching. And the mind notices all sorts of other inconsistencies in his behavior and his mannerisms. That you look at him, his mouth is smiling and his eyes are burning. Anger in his eyes and smiling mouth. Doesn't look right. Emotionally, one didn't necessarily notice it at first glance. One only noticed the big smile. When one looks carefully, one sees there are things here which are inconsistent. So the mind starts working and figuring. And the mind says, let's wait, let's watch, let's see. And the mind watches him do a business deal, the mind watches him negotiate with somebody, and eventually the mind decides he looks nice, and he smells nice, and he tastes nice, and he feels nice. Take it, it's not for me. But it can take a year or 2 years before the mind reaches that conclusion. That's the mind. It can't be done instantaneously. But when the mind's finished learning something up, has learned it up well, not easily misled. It's understood, it's analyzed, and it can explain to you the reason for which it came to its conclusions. The emotions can't explain to you. Why don't you like him? I don't like him. But explain to me why not. Don't know why not. Just don't like him. Well, why do you like him so much? What do you see in him? I don't know, just I like him. That's the emotions. The minds can tell you exactly why he likes him, exactly why he doesn't like him. That's the koyach of the mind. But it takes time. It has to be figured out step by step, analytically. It cannot be done instantaneously. A pesi is somebody who is very quick. If he's very quick, it's emotional. If it's emotional, it's superficial. That's for sure. It doesn't mean necessarily it's wrong. Because sometimes you can look at a piece of glass and it doesn't matter if you're looking at it deeply or superficially. What you see is the same. There's nothing hidden under it. It can be that one's emotional, intuitive feelings, particularly with people who have better instincts than others, it can be that the first impression is very accurate. But what's for sure is that it's a superficially created impression. It isn't reasoned out. It isn't worked out. It's a superficially created impression. And therefore, it is very, very suspect. There's something else that is disturbing about that, and that is, once one has an emotional attitude towards something, once one has taken an emotional stance towards something, it is very difficult to change because of intellect. Very difficult. A child who's never eaten a sweet, you can train that sweets are not healthy. Don't give him any sweets at all. And if you try and also protect him from watching other people eating sweets and saying yum yum and from seeing advertising, you can train him, it's not good for you. But once he's eaten the sweet and enjoyed it, then to try and teach the child intellectually that sweets are not good for you, you're fighting a losing battle. You're fighting muskolos against murgoshos, we call it. You're trying to acquire prominence for intellectual concepts over sensual concepts. And we feel sensual things much more strongly than we do intellectual things, although the intellectual things are deeper. We feel something emotionally, we feel it very strong. And it's very difficult to overcome that with reasoning. When a person has established a dislike for another, it's very difficult to reason him out of that dislike. It's almost impossible. Until emotionally he overcomes that dislike. A person is head over heels in love with somebody he or she shouldn't be head over heels in love, can't go and talk them out of it. It doesn't work. But it's emotional. They're not seeing any seichel. They're not functioning on the basis of seichel. It's like teaching the child who has sucked the sweet that sweets aren't healthy. You can teach a person who's never smoked before that it's bad to smoke. But it doesn't help telling a person who's enjoying his smoking that it's bad to smoke. That's the gap between the muskolos and the murgoshos. On the one hand, the murgoshos, the sensual understanding of the world around us, is immediate, it's quick. And on the other hand, it grasps us. And that makes things very difficult to live with. Because that's our first reaction, and that's the most lasting reaction. But that's a person. That's a foolish person. What's the Loshon Pitui? Easily persuaded, it's the same thing. You take a packet of cigarettes and you wrap them up in glossy paper and you make them look good and you show him a picture of somebody windsurfing, and when he's finished windsurfing, having a drink with a cigarette and two pretty girls on either side of him, and he smokes a cigarette, the idiot, as a result of that. Directly as a result of that, they figure out. What have you done? You've persuaded him. You've persuaded him to do something bad, to do something wrong. How did you do it? Just by making it look nice. A petty, foolish person. He's easily persuaded. It's obvious that a petty is going to be easily persuaded because the means of persuasion is simply the utilization of murgoshes over muskolos. If a person is open to reasoning, you don't need any special sales talk for him. If a person is a chochem, all you have to show him is the wisdom of what you're saying, that it's correct and right. If he's a chochem and you want to sell him something bad, then you're going to have a difficult time. If he's a pesi, you can sell him anything. Absolutely anything. You just have to wrap it up nice and make it look good, and he will buy it. There's a way to do it. There's a kunst, one has to know the kunst. But there are specialists in these fields. There are people who are making a lot of money teaching other people how to sell. So what are they doing? They're taking psoim and making them pay to teach them things which they should know themselves, so that they can make other people pay to buy things which they shouldn't be buying in the first place. And so it goes around, and people make a lot of money that way. And if there weren't any psoim in the world, there would be very little business in the world. So it is, there have to be these foolish people who are easily persuaded. But it's foolishness, it's petty. we think that wisdom is something you study for. We think that wisdom is a gift of the Ribbono Shel Olam. We think that wisdom is something that requires great effort. That probably does. What is wisdom, says the Ramban? Wisdom is just not being quick, that's all. That doesn't mean being slow. That doesn't mean when somebody says good morning to you, that you sit and sort of daydream for 20 minutes and then finally say, fine, thank you, and then 5 minutes later say, and you. That's not what it means to be a chochem. But it means to use as much time as you need to think the thing through before you answer anything. There are certain things that you can answer more quickly because you've already thought them out previously. And somebody says, how are you? It's not the first time you've considered the question. So you're able to answer fairly quickly. And you know what to say after. You can say, fine, thanks, and you can even go further. And how are you? Also, because you've thought that out, that that's the correct thing to ask under those circumstances. It doesn't need much thought. But if it's anything a little bit more than that, you're fully entitled to take your time in figuring out the right answer. A pesi is a person who doesn't think before he speaks. A pesi is a person who doesn't think before he acts. It's a pesi. He acts on impulse. He speaks on impulse. And it's not thought out to the end. It's a foolishness. A chacham, it's the opposite. Eidus Hashem ne'emon me'emonu machkimas pesi. The Torah of the Ribbono Shel Olam is trustworthy. It's machkim a pesi. It makes a pesi clever. How does it do it? This teaches you to think, that's all. Teaches you how to analyze a thing before you draw conclusions. How to see that what things look like is not what they really are. How to extend a thing, how to see to the end of a thing. To get used to the concept that there is an end, that there is a chain effect, that one thing causes another, that conclusions need to be drawn. Gets you used to thinking, that's all. And we cannot translate the word chochem and pesi more accurately. Pesi is a person who doesn't think, and a chochem is a person who does think. That's all. A thinking person and a non-thinking person. The effect of thinking is amazing. There's a maaseh in the Gemara in Ksubas Kasam Abayz and Abayz. Rabbi Hananya ben Chachinoi have a ka'ozil lebei rav. Beshili haluliyah de Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Rabbi Hananya ben Chachinai was about to go to yeshiva to learn by Rav at the end of the wedding celebrations of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Amal le'i'akiv li'ad da'asi ba'adach. So Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai said to Rabbi Hananya ben Chachinai, hang on a bit, wait until I'm finished with the wedding and I'll come with you. Lo'i'akiv li. He didn't wait, he was in a hurry to go and he went. Ozal Yosef Tresre Shani. He went and he sat for 12 years. And he learned Bevei Rav in the house, in the Beis Medrash of Rav. Adasi, by the time the 12 years were up and he went home again, Ishtenu Shvili Demasa. The roads of the town had changed. There were new buildings, roads were closed that previously were there, there were new roads. He didn't know where he was for 12 years, he hadn't been to his hometown. You didn't know how to get home. Ozal Yosef Aguda de Naro. He sat down at the bank of a river. It amazes me sometimes when I learn this Gemara, why didn't he ask somebody the way? He must have had an address. Why didn't he just ask, where does Mrs. Chachinoi live? Maybe it wasn't necessary to speak. I don't know why. But he didn't, he went quietly and he sat by the river. Shoma lahoi revisa da have a koru la bas chachinoi. Bas chachinoi. He heard a young lady say to this other young lady, bas chachinoi, daughter of chachinoi, mali koilasach v'tonezel, come fill up your pitcher with water and let's go already. Omar, he said, shmamino hai revisa didana. Oh, he said, this must be my daughter, this must be our daughter. That's what they're calling her here. Ozal Basra, so he followed her home. Have a yeshiva divisu kanalo kimcha. His wife was sitting and was kneading the flour. Dal eino, she lifted up her eyes. Chazise, she saw him. Savi libo, her heart perceived him. Porach rucha, and she passed out. She died. Just that you shouldn't worry too much about her. The Gemara goes on to tell us that Omar Lefon of Ribbono Shel Olam Ani Azuz Zuz Choro. is this the schar that she gets for waiting for 12 years while I'm learning Torah? Says Rabbi Hananiah ben Chachinoy. Bo rachmi olo, he prayed for her, he davened for her, v'chaya, and she became revived. Says Rashi, what is savi libo? Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz used to bring this Rashi to illustrate another point, but it's the concept is the same. Ro'o libo. Savi libo means her heart perceived him. Kloima, what does that mean? It means to say, Nidme lelibo peeped suddenly that this was her husband. It's a lot of words that Rashi is using here. Ro'o libo, kloima, Nidme lelibo pisoim, and he uses that same word, pisoim. Same word as we have in our Sedra. Shazeb ba'ilo, that this is her husband. It struck her heart suddenly. And if it wouldn't have struck her heart suddenly, either it wouldn't have struck her heart or it wouldn't have been sudden. Let's say she saw him coming from the distance. And it struck her heart. But not suddenly, she looked. And her heart felt, maybe it's him, maybe I watched him. By the time he came nearer to the house, her heart realized it was him. Would she have died? No. And if it wasn't her heart, even if it was sudden, if it wasn't her heart, if he wrote a letter first and said, I'll be home tomorrow, would have been sudden, but it wouldn't have struck her heart, it would have struck her eyes. She wouldn't have fainted either. She wouldn't have died either. What is it that causes her death? The combination of libo and pisum. It's emotional and it's sudden. Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz brings this to illustrate the ability of the human being to become used to things, to adjust himself to situations. That's another subject which we'll talk about another time. But what do we see here? Had somebody come in a split second before her husband walked in and said, Mrs. Chachinoy, your husband's about to walk in, and a second later he would have walked in, there would have been no tragedy. Why? There's a moment of preparation. There's a moment of thought. Between the time that she heard, which is not an emotional piece of information, that's intellectual information, she's told that her husband is about to come, she then has 5 seconds or 2 seconds or even 1 second to absorb it intellectually, so that when her husband comes in, it's not purely an emotional shock. Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz obviously is right. The human being can adjust to an awful lot, but his method of adjustment is not using his emotions. Emotionally, it's very hard to adjust. The way one adjusts is by rationalizing a thing. A person loses a close one, chas v'shalom. And so, you can't be menachem the person right away. At that point, it's emotional. There's nothing you can say. There's nothing to reason at that point. At that point, it's an emotional shock. It's an emotional feeling of loss, and there is no reasoning. What happens? That there's a levaya, there's a shiva. A little bit later, it starts becoming livable with. It's painful, and sometimes the pain becomes greater. But the person isn't freaked out. The person isn't acting in a strange, peculiar sort of way. And not reacting in a strange, peculiar sort of way. Why? What is it? The intellect is the means we have of rationalizing an emotion, of coming to terms with it, of reasoning it out. But we need time, that's all. The intellect can't do it immediately. Person hears, chas v'shalom, there's a loss. He can't, once it's readjust his mind, okay, it's all, doesn't. That's how it is, that's how life is, finished. Doesn't work like that. The emotional is immediate, and it's painful, and it's sharp, and it's there. And there's nothing you can do to reason with him. Later on, after hours, after days, the reasoning takes place and he's able to come to terms with it. A man walks in, a husband walks in after 12 years that she hasn't heard from him virtually. And he walks in without notice. That's a shock. It's an emotional shock. And there's no way the human body can cope with that kind of shock. She dies. Had somebody just given her a moment's notice, she would have been all right. Because her mind would have had the opportunity to convert it into a concept, and concepts we can deal with. Concepts aren't emotional. Once it's a concept, it's already one can handle with it. What is one supposed to do? What is an ovel supposed to do with his time? He's not supposed to work, and he's not supposed to socialize, and he's not supposed to learn. So what does he do, the ovel? He learns hilchos avelus, he learns about avelus. That's the part of Torah he's allowed to learn. And what does that do? It converts his loss into concepts that he can work with. He understands what Misa is, what Kvura is, what Avelus is, what a Shiva is, what Shloshim is. All of a sudden, terms which used to be emotional, as he learns through, start becoming intellectual. And he can, now he can master them, now he can handle them. The mind can handle anything. The mind doesn't get freaked out by anything. The mind doesn't get shattered by anything. As long as one keeps one's mind clear, one can handle anything. But one needs time. It can't be done instantaneously. It can't be done in a moment. One needs time. One needs to settle with it. One needs to convert the emotion into a concept. Avraham Avinu is told, go and take your child Yitzchok up and offer him a sacrifice. And he does. Takes Yitzchok, his beloved only child, and he is about to sacrifice him and would have sacrificed him if it weren't that he was stopped from by an angel. Later on, Sarah hears what's happened. She dies. What's the difference between them? Everybody asks. Was she not great enough to cope with it? The Ribbono Shel Olam expected Avraham to cope with it. Was Sarah not great enough to cope with the same concept? Couldn't she also rationalize it and understand that if that's what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants, that's what has to be done? She dies, unable to cope with it. What's the difference between the two? What we have to look at is how Avraham was told and how Sarah was told. The Ribbono Shel Olam says, Avraham vayomer hineini. Firstly, the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't just walk into him and start talking. Avraham calls him by name. So already Avraham knows that there's something momentous about to happen. The Ribbono Shel Olam has called him by name and he answers. It's a moment. But that moment is so important. It's a moment that could have saved Mrs. Chachinoy. Just that moment. But no shock. Then Vayomer, he says, Kachno es bincho, take your son. And the Ribbono Shel Olam is talking slowly and clearly, and Avraham is busy thinking, take my son, where? Which son? So it still leaves possibilities. Maybe it doesn't mean Yitzchak. Maybe it means Yishmael, which is bad enough, but look, that I can still adjust. Or if it means Yitzchak, maybe it doesn't mean it's a sacrifice yet. All he said is take your son, maybe he means take him to Yeshiva. Es Yechidcho, he tells him, no, your only son. Ashero Havto. Es Yitzchok. Velech lecho Eretz Hamoriah, and go with him to Eretz Hamoriah. Still, Avraham can be thinking, maybe it means to go to Yeshiva. But already the concept that he has to do something, which is not going to be easy, you can see by the way that Ribbono Shel Olam is talking that it's not going to be easy. Something that is going to call on all his resources. To that he's already becoming attuned. To the fact that he's really going to have to face the greatest challenge of his life, that he's ready for already. And bring him there as a sacrifice. By the time he's told that, it's already an intellectual concept. It's no longer an emotional shock. And Rashi brings the Chazal. That's exactly why the Ribbono Shel Olam did it that way. Es bincho, omar lo yedribo. He said Avraham, shnei bonim yeshli. I've got two sons. Omar lo yeshichidcho. No. Omar lo zeyochid liyim. Zeyochid liyim. I said, well, they're both my only sons. This one's my wife. Was his mother's only son, and this one is his mother's only son. Amar lo Asher Ahavta, the one you love more. Amar lo Shneim Ani Ohev, I love both of them. Amar lo Yitzchok. Asks Rashi, V'lama lo Gilo lo Mitchilo? Why doesn't the Bereshim call a spade a spade? What's he playing with? Tell him, take Yitzchok and bring him as a sacrifice. There are different ways of dealing with people. South Africa used to be a very English place. It's becoming more of an American place. What's the difference? In England, if you want to fire somebody, there's a way to do it. You call him in for a tea time, have a cup of tea, and you ask him to sit down, have a cup of tea, please. Oops, already he knows that something's going on. He's not offered a cup of tea by the managing director every day. So he gets to know how things going, how's the family, how's the work, why are you under such pressure, what pressures are you under? You know, I think maybe you should consider a change at the moment, and how about this? And eventually he gets the message that he's no longer wanted. In America, it's not like that. In America, you turn up to work and your door is locked and your suitcases are outside with your papers and that's it. Maybe you'll be zoichet to a little note on it as well that you're not meant to come back again. And if you really choshev and they really want to keep in with you, maybe you'll be told it personally on your way in, or there'll be a note on your desk, please see me immediately. You'll go into the managing director, you'll say, sorry, old fella, time's up, we've got somebody else for your job. If he has a check, hope to see you one day. And that's it. Call a spade, be straight. You can kill a person with that. It's amazing. A lot of work has been done by psychologists in evaluating the damage, the psychological damage committed during those moments, and how difficult it is to cope with the suddenness of the situation. And the man who went off to work in the morning comes home an hour later, facing his wife, facing his family. That the losing the job is the least part of it. It's the pita, it's the shock, which sometimes causes irreparable damage. Sometimes it's necessary to let the person know a little bit in advance that he starts getting used to the idea that maybe he's going to have to move. Makes it a lot easier. Why, says Rashi, lo yigil lo mitchilo? Answers Rashi, shaloi la'arbevoi pisa. So as not to confuse him, pitoim, that same word, suddenly. Ketazuach daito olo v'sitoref. In his mind, he would go off his mind. Even an avrom avim, if confronted with that kind of shock, could lose his mind. Sitoref daito, he could go mad. So instead, Ribbono Shel Olam says, what are we talking about altogether? 5 seconds, that's all. 10 seconds maybe. One can time it, it's probably a lot less than 10 seconds. Makes the difference between insanity and the greatest levels of Kedusha. Avram rising up to those levels of actually performing the 10th and greatest Nisayon, and through that he becomes an Avram Avinu. And that's the piece of Torah that we read on Rosh Hashanah, and that's when Rosh Hashanah fell, and the place he brought Yitzchak became the Beis Hamikdash later on. All that Kedusha could have been lost by being 5 seconds too quick, by saying something too quickly, without giving the other person a chance to get used to what is going to be said. He could have gone out of his mind and not being able to perform it at all. Sora didn't have that. Some well-meaning so-and-so came and told her, Yitzchak's been offered as a sacrifice. Or Yitzchak was taken as a sacrifice, was taken to be offered as a sacrifice, and before he could even get the sefer of the pasuk out, she died. He didn't start off saying, don't worry, everything's okay, but you should know, Yitzchak was taken, and it's all right, and then he wasn't brought as a sacrifice. She wouldn't have died then. Just the way it was said to her. Pisoin, to do something suddenly, makes one a pesi. To do something b'mehirus yaseva, with extreme speed, as the Ramban says, makes one a pesi, it makes one foolish. One can't operate like that. It makes one a mefuta, it makes one easily persuaded. Somebody who acts very quickly, who is very impulsive, is patty in the hands of anybody who wants to manipulate him. All you have to do is trigger the right impulse and you'll get him acting. Like the doctor who strikes your knee with a rubber hammer and your foot goes up into the air. A person who acts by impulse, that's all you have to do, is you have to find the right point to hit and the right hammer with which to hit, and you'll get him to do whatever you want. He's a pesi, he's foolish. A chochem is different. A chochem, when you say it, you ask him a question, he says, look, I would like to think about it, I'll come back to you in an hour. And you say to yourself, what an idiot. I'll come back to me in an hour. How foolish can a man be? You're saying that only because you're angry. Because you know if he comes back to you in an hour, he'll work out exactly what you're trying to do, and he'll get the better of you. That's why you're getting angry. Not that he's the foolish man. If he would say quickly, if he would answer you the way you want him to answer, which is digging his own grave. But if a man has a valuable property, and you say to him, I'm making you an offer, but you've got to give me an answer within 5 minutes. This is the offer. Take it or leave it. And if he says to you immediately, right, take it. You say, that's a chokh. Look how quick he thinks. Look how quickly he's able to sum up the situation. And you say, what a clever man. And if he says, look, sorry, take it or leave it, I can't take it or leave it, give me an hour, I'll come back to you in an hour's time. You say, no hour, take it or leave it, give me an hour. What a foolish man. Give him an offer, it's a simple thing, yes or no, and he can't make up his mind. He's the clever man. He's the one who won't be the pesi. He's the one who will weigh it up before he gives the answer. He's not a quick man. But whereas we're used to seeing speed as a sign of intelligence, the Ramban sees speed as a sign of pesi. See, speed is a sign of foolishness, of lack of chokhmah, of inability to think a thing out before it's acted upon and before it's followed through. How much time does one need to think? You see, moments sometimes. just moments. As long as they're active moments, as long as they're moments where something is happening inside one. One isn't just lying, doing nothing, that's utterance. But if there are moments where one is active, where one's mind is thinking, it's literally seconds can make the difference between a response which is wise and a response which is foolish. How often do we think to ourselves, as a word comes out of my mouth, if only I stopped myself. And how long would you have needed to stop yourself? A split second of thought would have stopped it. That's all. But we didn't even have that split second of thought. Everybody has a brain. When we talk about chokhmah, everybody has the potential to a degree of chokhmah. We don't use it. And I don't know, I haven't analyzed why it is that we're in such a hurry. Why it is that we feel under such pressure to react and to respond without thinking. Maybe because people only measure actions. People possibly don't measure the quality of an action. Maybe because we're under pressure. There's a lot of things that life moves very fast and we just don't have the time to do the thinking that we need to do. But if we're involved in activities about which we haven't got time to think, we shouldn't be involved in them. Because we're definitely going to make mistakes. It's not possible to do it properly without thinking. And again, the thinking doesn't have to be hours and hours. Thinking can be moments. But there needs to be a thought before an action. There's a Rashi in Iyu that says exactly the same concept. The Pasuk in Perek Hey, Atzas Niftolim Nimhoro, the Eitzah of Niftolim, again we see the word petty. Niftolim, peitaf, is quick, says Rashi. Kol ha'etzo ha'asuyo b'mehirus. Every etzo, every advice which is performed with speed, that means whether the advice is given with speed or followed with speed, whether it's advice to oneself or advice to somebody else or advice from somebody else. Kol ha'etzo ha'asuyo b'mehirus. All the Eitzah which is done in speed, is sichlus, is foolishness. Now she doesn't say rov ha'etzahs, most Eitzahs that are done in speed. He says kol ha'etzah, every one of them. To do something over which there hasn't been sufficient thought is sichlus, it's foolishness. It cannot be wise and it cannot lead to wisdom. Torah mevi'a lidei zehirus. We now begin to understand Torah Mevi'ah Lidei Zehirus. What does Torah do? Torah teaches one to think. On the basis of the shiurim we had and the learning that we had over Sukkot, over Shavuos, what are the first things that one learns to think about in Torah? Says the Ramban, the same Ramban, that one has to learn and one has to think. Me'ayin bo elecha amitzvus. First thing is to think, where do these mitzvahs come from? If one is a thinking human being, if I'm not a thinking human being, then I'll say to you, no, there's a halacha in the Torah that you must put on tefillin. So now there are three responses to that. The idiot says, okay, give me a pair. Puts it on, doesn't know what he's doing, he's a monkey. A little bit more intelligent, the person will say, how do you put them on? Okay, you must put on tefillin, tell me how. A philosopher will say, why must I put them on? And he'll never come to putting them on. He'll talk about why and why and why and why, and he'll carry on talking and philosophizing and reading it up and going to lectures about them and going to shiurim about it, but he'll never come to putting on tefillin. He's a philosopher. Philosophers don't practice their philosophy. And then there's the chochem. What will the chochem say? Me'ayin bo elecha mitzvus. Not why, Mr. Put. Who says I'm not? Who's the authority? I don't have to know why yet. First, I need to know who. If it's somebody very wise who says I must put on tefillin, then I'll put them on and I'll find out why later on. If it's somebody very foolish who says I must put on tefillin, I won't even bother putting them on nor finding out why. The first thing I need to know is my ayin bo. Where does it come from that I must put on tefillin? That's the first thing. Maimad hasidah. Comes the whole thing. The Rebbeinu Shlom gave Torah to Moshe, and Moshe was really Yeshua, and Yeshua is Kenyan. The whole thing is passed down, and the authority of Torah is explained. That's Torah. So what's going to happen after that? Zehirus. Oh, now you've told me that there's a halacha that you must put on tefillin, and you've told me from where this comes from. How careful I'll be to put it on properly. Now teach me how. Now I must understand how. Tell me a little bit about the whys of it also. Then it's no longer a philosopher, because he's already doing it. That's pshat in Naaseh v'nishma. I'll do and then I'll listen. Why will I do and then listen? Maybe it's a stupid thing to do. How can it be a stupid thing to do if it comes from the Ribbono Shel Olam? I know its source. I know its origin. But that's the first question that there has to be. That's a thinking person. A thinking person's first process is to understand the source and the origin of that which he's studying. And that's why Reishis Chochmah Yiras Hashem. The beginning of wisdom is Yiras Hashem. Because what is wisdom? Wisdom is thinking a thing through. What's the first process of thinking through? Where do you think through to? You think through to its origin. Where does it come from? Yiras Hashem. You come to Hasina, you have Yiras Hashem. Then one understands that that is the process of Torah. Then one understands how Torah mevi'el lidei zehirus. Thinking Torah, not monkey Torah. Thinking Torah. Doing it with an understanding, doing it with an appreciation at least. Brings one, learning it with an appreciation, brings one to zehirus, brings one to being careful about the mitzvahs. We're living in a society where perhaps our biggest problem, our biggest failing, and the biggest pitfall in everything we do is the extent to which we're not thinking. We don't think about the things we do, but I'm talking about real thinking, in depth, thinking a thing through to the end. We don't think what we do, we don't think what we're about. We push it, we're just not thinking people. And this is a machalo, this is a disease which affects room people as much as anybody else, if not more for some reason. So yes, there's involvement in frumkeit, and there's even involvement in learning, there's an involvement in Torah, and it's all very wonderful. But is there thinking going on? Are people really thinking? Are they analyzing? Are they understanding? Are they integrating? Or are they just learning techniques, and they're learning words, and they can quote? What is it that's happening? Take the thought process out of the Torah, and there's nothing there. The Torah will not bring to Zahirus. And the Zahirus will not bring to Zerizus. And the Zerizus will not bring to Nekiz. Take the thinking out of Torah and you can't say, Eidus Hashem Ne'amonu Machkim HaSpesi. If there's no thinking in the Torah, it will not be Machkim HaPesi. What is just by davening up a page of Gemara, a Pesi is going to become a Chochem? Won't be. But out of thinking it through and using one's mind, yes, a Pesi can become a Chochem. A person learns how to take things slowly, how to not be rushed into something. One of the first times that I encountered this danger and this whole conflict was when I was a very young yeshiva bocher. And in those days, there weren't that many chutz la'aretz people from outside the Eretz Yisrael that used to learn in Israeli yeshivas. There were yeshivas in America for Americans, and there were yeshivas in England for the English, and there were yeshivas in Europe for the Europeans, and from the Far East and South Africa, nobody went to yeshivas, so there weren't yeshivas for them. And occasionally an American would go to Israel for a couple of, for a year usually, he used to go for a year, but then he would usually go to a yeshiva that had facilities for chutz la'aretz people. In our yeshiva, I was one of two, I think, most of the time, one of two from overseas. And so the whole Israeli system of learning and so on was new and was foreign, and the Israelis were very bright. This particular yeshiva took the best of them, and they were fast, they were quick. And it came to a point of absolute chalishus hadas. Whatever I would suggest, whatever I would say as a concept, as an idea, as a suggested answer, or as a kasha, before it was out of my mouth. 10 reasons why I'm wrong. Once, twice, see, there's a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, I was already about to give up. I went to the Rosh Hashiva and I told him about this. And he said, no. I said, don't worry. He said, when they do that, just go slowly. Get them to do it step by step to show you why you're wrong. And if they quote, open up where they've quoted and learn through with them. And just do it your way. Don't get rushed into doing it their way. And then come and tell me how it goes. Well, that changed my life. All of a sudden I realized that the things they're quoting they didn't have a clue about, they understood as little as I did, but when we both opened together and started learning through, we saw that it wasn't quite the way they thought it was, and the things tying up aren't quite the way they thought they'd tie up, and it took us a lot longer, but it didn't take very long before people were no longer jumping down my throat. The speed is not a sign of intelligence. Speed can be very superficial. And one must be careful not to allow oneself to be rushed into that. To be rushed into not thinking. And assuming that other people must be right because they're so quick, they must know what they're talking about, otherwise they wouldn't talk with such confidence. The deeper a person is, the less confidence he talks with. The more he realizes the possibilities of being wrong. It's the superficial person who's always confident, is always 100% right. It can't be any other way. Of course it's like this. How can you think anything else? That's not the element of depth. The element of depth is slowly analyzing, understanding, integrating. And in everything one does, in one's profession, one's interpersonal relationships, one's relationships with one's children, with one's family, one's business, in one's learning Torah, in one's davening, in one's performing the mitzvahs, a moment of thinking, just a moment, can change one's life. Before one puts on one's tefillin, that moment can change the tefillin. Before one davens, that moment can change the davening. Before one learns, that moment can change the learning. Not to go into a situation unprepared. You're having a meeting. Spend a few minutes before the meeting preparing. And who's going to come out victorious in the meeting? Not the cleverer person. The one who spent more time preparing. That's all there is to it. The cleverer you are, the less time you need to prepare. So you might find that the other side has to prepare for 2 hours, and because they're brighter than you, or they know their area better than you, then you have to spend 10 hours to prepare. But with your 10 hours, you'll be as good if not better than their 2 hours. It's a matter of time, that's all. It's a matter of preparation. Don't go into a social situation unprepared. Going out to be with people, you want to make a contribution, you're going to be with them, have something to talk about. Don't just go in and think, well, when I'm there, we'll talk. When you're there, you'll talk rubbish. If you want something to talk about, prepare, have something. Read something up so that one can make a meaningful contribution. Evaluate in one's mind, what might they be interested in? What aspect of the conversation could I contribute to? It can be a few moments in the car going to the place, to the destination, that one goes through those moments of preparation. But those moments are vital. One's going to learn, one's coming to a shiur, has a chavrusa. 5 minutes before, just to get oneself into the mood, to familiarize oneself with the concepts, just that one doesn't come in from the cold. Because when you come in from the cold, you're relating to it emotionally. You can't relate to it intellectually. It takes too long to get into the flow of things to relate to it intellectually. That moment of thought can turn something from being purely emotional into something which can be reasoned, handled as concepts, handled professionally, handled with depth, and handled with confidence. And one can change oneself with a little bit of self-discipline from an automate into a thinking human being, into somebody who participates in the process of living, who understands the process of living, and in everything he does, there is the thought, there is the chokhmah, so that we don't fall into the category that Rashi and the Ramban talk about, that an eitzah b'mehirus, that anything which is done fast is sichlus, it's foolishness. Rather, we'll spend our moments of preparation to make sure that edus Hashem ne'emono, that the Torah of the Ribbono Shel Olam is trustworthy. Machkimas pesi, if we think our Torah through, machkimas pesi, it can make simple people like us into chachomim, into wise people, into thinking people, and into intelligent people.